reading material today. I wanted to share some things with you today. Hopefully, always sharing things with you. But today is another halacha l'maisa day for Borer, so we will try to discuss some of the bottom line and some of the later literature. But as we mentioned last week, you know, especially because we have maybe both current and aspiring rabbinical students in the room, that we want to give some exposure specifically to the process and some of the calculations that go into the conclusions, particularly this malacha. We've noted that there is a mixture of a lot of different machlokas and playing a role and a lot of different considerations. So I would like to, I've brought in some things to read to you, specifically to share some of the svaras that have gone into some of the decisions, and there continues to be a controversy about a number of issues. So just to share one more point on a topic we've talked about a little bit at length. So when we discussed the Kalim issue, and we noted that there is some question to what extent there really is a basis to be machmer and borer by utensils and clothing. Should we assume that it's specifically a food malacha? There are many indications that it is, except for a Rashi and Ayin Dalet Beis that does seem to extend it beyond food. So we noted that there is some debate about this, and that the Or Sameach, for one, objected to the extension of Borer beyond basic small items, at least, certainly objected to it being expanded to Kalim and Begadim, because that's beyond the standard of a Taruvus. It doesn't qualify as a Taruvus. Taruvus means little things that are mixed in together and you can't tell them apart, and that doesn't apply to garments and to recognizable utensils, which I'll throw in here. For example, a person buys them separately, let's say, especially, maybe that's not necessarily true with silverware, but definitely many other utensils and clothing, a person buys them one by one, to say that they're there in a taruvus, and a mixture maybe is harder to say, and that was how the Or Sameach expressed himself in disagreeing with that which is attributed to the Taz. We noted, as Sammy pointed out, that maybe even the Taz doesn't agree with the extension, but maybe that was built on to his language. So it's a somewhat of a debate. But nonetheless, most of the 20th century, 21st century poskim have assumed that there is a halacha of borer by Kalim. So just to note two other discussions of this important in recent literature. So first of all, in terms of the Aruch HaShulchan. So Aruch HaShulchan does hold the raya from Rashi to be relevant. Assumes that he can't say that borer is only by Ochlin. But then he goes on to say, he says, so how do we live life? He says, Eich matzinu yadeinu v'raglenu, when it comes to begadim and kelim, it would seem that we have a very hard time picking out our clothes or picking out our silverware, and it doesn't seem like the world is so worried about this. It doesn't seem like the world is so machmer about this. So he hasn't read the late 20th century literature, but he doesn't get the feeling that people are too concerned about this. So he thinks there are two svaras, and he's not sure which one is the ikker. So the first svara that he says, and I'll read to you his language, which I have here, is that he says two possible answers. One is davar hanikar harbe la'ein haroe. It's very clear. It's very recognizable to somebody who looks at it. Lo shayach lomar zebreira she'ein zebreira ela netila ba'alma. That's just taking things that are already set aside. V'chol elu hadvarim shechashavnu. So things like garments and utensils and svarim, these are visible to the eye, and you can pick them out from a distance. And don't say, well, I could say the same thing about different kinds of fruits. They're also visible. Since they're so small and there's so many of them mixed in, you're going to have to separate them from each other. So what he just said in that first svar is very similar to the Or Sameach. That not necessarily that it has to be only ochlin, but anything that is sizable and recognizable and distinct is not subject to the halachas of borer. And only smaller items, which you can't really see from a distance when they're mixed in because they're small, And because there's many of them in the pile together, so then that's when you have Borer, but big things, Begadim, Kelim, Svarim, maybe not. And then the second Svar he has is very different. And we mentioned that one of our objections to extending it beyond Ochlin is since one of the major heterim for Borer, we've assumed, based on the way it was developed by probably the dominant view in Rishonim, is that it's Derech Achila. So Derech Achila, once you go beyond Ochel, you have to define it more symbolically. You have to define the word more broadly. It doesn't mean specifically Achila, it means usage, which was difficult, as we mentioned, for Yosef Engel, who defines Achila as relevant because the item disappears. So clearly that's very difficult, but even without him, you have to define the word differently in order to expand it to other things. So in Achanami, that's what the Aruch HaShulchan does in his second answer. He says, "Va'bei sharei yispared v'shas achila yachal litol ochal mitol chapsolas." That we know that it's mutter to do borer when it's shas achila. Shein zederach breira v'derach achila v'kach. V'meila d'b'chol hadvarim shanu tzrichim ka'eis lilbo shabegadim v'lishtamish ba'akelim v'lilmur ba'asvarim hevi kishas achila v'lo shayach v'zebreira. So he indeed expands the definition of achila to usage. So that's what we do. We need our utensils, we need our books, we need our clothes. So that's derech achila. We're allowed to take them. So clearly there's a big difference between those two svaras. And what's the big difference? If you don't use them, right? Basically the first svar, he's saying there's no din of borer by these items. The second svar, he's saying there is a din of borer, which is subject to the heter of derech achila, and that usage is called derech achila, so without that situation, it's not going to be mutter. So he writes that himself in brackets. He continues to say, ubavadai livor svarim zeb mizek kidei lahamidan al makoman, o begadim zeb mizek kidei lachlosan v'chein v'kelin. So if you're going to separate the svarim from each other in order to stand them up on the shelf, or your clothes to hang them up, ein heter latam zeb, the second reason, avalatam harishon ein yisr bedaber. So that's a big difference between the two. If the second reason is just the derech achila heter, then it's only going to work if you're using it right now. And if it's the first reason, there's no yisr borer bechlal. So that's a big difference. Which one is right? He's not sure. He says, leaves it that the yesh l'ayin bezeh v'dok. So that's a pretty big difference between the two. Hi. So then you could also, we could say it's normal usage, maybe, but you could probably more easily say the prima gadim, right? If you, even though the prima gadim is also debated, right? Whether or not you accept the prima gadim, that you're not using either now, and you're just putting them in their proper place. Now the prima gadim is also subject to debate. Mishnah Berurah wasn't so thrilled about the prima gadim. But again, you have a combination of factors. There's already more room to be makel. So you also see a similar attitude in Rav Sternbach's tshuvas. Rav Sternbach has in Chelik Beit of Chuvas von Hagos. Simon Kuf Hehei, he has a whole kuntris basically on Borer, and in Oz Tess, so he writes as follows. Chelik Beit, Simon Kuf Hehei. So all that Chuvah is many items about Borer, separated apart from each other. So Oz Tess, so he writes as follows. And I want to quote his language as well, again, so you can decide what to do with it. And he says as follows. So he talks about mixed up svarim, where he's going to end up being machmir in a number of tshuvas talking about svarim and kelim, assuming, like again, a majority of late 20th century, 21st century posting that there is a problem. But he uses the following language. He says, "Matsinu chiddush nifla be'achad migdolei ha'achronim." He found an amazing chiddush in one of the achronish svarim, shesifra hofio mikarav. Who's he talking about? Not yet the Or Sameach or the Aruch HaShulchan, although he'll eventually quote them. Halohu Maharam Kaziz. Al-Masech Teshavis, Besugi Deborer Ayin Gimel Mera'alef. Shmefarish Shahachiyuv Rak B'me'uravim Mamish. That has been the obligation, the prohibition of Borer only applies when things are completely mixed up. Shebnei Adam Pogem, I'm sorry, Sheechad Pogem L'Sheini. Get copy this down wrong. So one of them is interfering with the other. I copy that word down. So I'm not sure exactly the word used before that, but one of them is interfering with the other. Kemo v'samemanim shataruvis pogim v'tzarech davka livror. In such a situation, it's awesome. So if you go to the model of the samemanim, so you can't be used because they're interfering with each other. So that's an issue. By the way, samemanim is mentioned or not, is one of the reasons why there are those who will argue this is not about Ochel, besides the Raya from Rashi, but we discussed in the past, we mentioned the context of Ma'amer, so there was some discussion whether Samamanim is called Ochel. We mentioned the Dvar Yehoshua, who argues that they are called Ochel, for two reasons. One, that maybe some of them were edible, and even if they're not, as long as some were edible, that should serve as the representative model, whatever it is. But there are those who take the Samamanim as an indication that it's not about Ochel. But something you see in that model is that the mixture, one part interferes with the other. Aval kishim v'vurarim v'lo muravim mamish v'pogim zemizeh. If they're not mamish mixed together to interfere with each other, al yidei ha'iruv, einis retorer deborer. And that Gemara, that language sounds like it's going to say it's nisr the Rabbanan, but I don't think that's what he means. But that's not an isr of borer. Afsha Gemara mafurish. So here he says this is a beferish Gemara. But you may recall this is a girsa question. It says even though it's beferish the Gemara shabit beis mine ochlin yesh borer kishena rotsa lechal echad havi v'zek kipsoles. Right, even though the Gemara says explicitly that if you have two different types of food, when you don't want one of them, that's called psoles, right? So that's assuming that that's the gerus in the Gemara, the gerus of Tosfos. Rashi didn't have that gerus, if you recall, but okay, it says the perish in the Gemara. Nirash l'shitaso meduber shetzarech livror. Seems that what's been coming out from there is that we're talking about something that needs to be selected. U'kamo l'dugma eza kidneyus nisarvu b'yirako shetzarech livror la'afridam. Over kidneys, gufa, misugim, shon, mechidome. They have legumes and vegetables that are mixed up. Aval kishmunachim ze al ze. When one is on top of the other, umatsu kain, that's how it's found. Below tsarach mitzad atzmo lahafridam. You don't have to necessarily, for the sake of either one, separate them from each other. Elim, ipnesha, rotsa, davar, mesuya. But other than for the fact that you want one, lo nikra, borer, klap. By the way, one of the reasons why I'm reading you the exact language is because since there is so much of a subjective factor in figuring out when this applies and when it doesn't apply, that's why I wanted to read you the direct language and let you think about this for yourselves. But here he's saying, so if the two things are not mamish mixed up, but they're next to each other, and for the sake of themselves, they don't care whether you separate them or not. If you were to ask these vegetables, or if you were to ask these items whether or not they want to be separated, they're fine the way things are. You just happen to want one, so that's not called borer. And then he goes on to say, "V'afshum sedeshin nagam b'svarizos v'beiz minei dagnish mivararim v'lo nikra borer." So the Trimah Sedeshin already touched upon this point when he talks about two types of fish that are already distinct. Maybe that's not called borer. V'lo rotz lahakel b'iser deraisik mivur b'Trimah Sedeshin v'lekein hichmir. But he didn't want to be makel in the shaila of the deraisa, and therefore he was machmir. V'lekein pasak harama k'Trimah Sedeshin v'hachmir. So when you have cooked fish, kishenogim zebazeh, they're touching each other. V'tamim shoneh, omdim lahafrid, and their tastes are different. So then they are waiting to be separated. Mashein came beperos and klipos basal. So that would be one thing in terms of the fish. But when you have, let's say, fruit that's still in the peel, that's in a basket. Oh, Sfarim. Oh, the God of Beshulchan O Aram. Or your clothes that are on the table or in a closet. Ein ha'iruv beinehem gufa pogim klal. The fact that they're mixed together has no effect on the items themselves. Yes, sir? It sounds a little bit like it, but I don't think that's his main point. You know, that also, I've noticed in some of the later literature, and I'm not going to discuss it today so as not to confuse you further, but Mishnah Berurah is just very clear what he says about Silik if you read it inside. And still, you find all kinds of later Svaras in the Achronim where they say things in very similar situations that come up with other Svaras. You know, they're basically situations which seem like clear Silik for the Mishnah Berurah, and they give all kinds of other complicated approaches. Why did you make it? Why did you machmir? And that's another element here in the Sugya where there's a lot of overlapping language and confusion. So we'll leave that Mishnah Berurah right now. I think Mishnah Berurah's language is himself very clear, and that when you have a situation where you need to get to pass one thing to get to what you need, that's mutter. What he's talking about here is he's including the fact that you're interested just in what you want, but he's saying that maybe there isn't even an issue of borer to begin with if the items are not mixed together in a way that affects them. They're not mixed together in a way that there's any need as far as the items perspective to be separated, they are essentially distinct. So to separate those items, even though they're together in a pile, or together in a closet, or together on your table, that's not called Borer. So based on this, so he, Sternbach quoting this Maharam Kazis, says, so it seems to be that a situation like that, with fruit in a basket, or svarim, or begadim b'sholchan, or ein ha'erev b'neihem gufa pogim klal, yesh mokum lahakel, the Maharam Kazis. Sounds like in such a situation, begadim, kelim, etc., there is a tzad lahakel, v'chein mevur b'pashtus gambor sameach, ayin shabit varv ha'nifloim, uviorach ha'sholchan. So, do we have support yet for the view of the Or Sameach? So here he's adding that the Aruch HaShulchan basically says the same type of thing, at least in one of his two svaras, as we see. And the Aruch HaShulchan, I'm sure, wasn't sure, as we saw, where to land, but he acknowledges it as a valid svara. The Or Sameach, if you read it inside, is very sure where to land on this topic. But so he says together, okay, so you have one day in the Or Sameach, which he doesn't mention is one day, but one day in the Or Sameach, the Aruch HaShulchan, I'm sorry, one day in the Aruch HaShulchan, the only day in the Or Sameach, and the Ma'ari Kazis, so all of that seems to be a Mokom Lahakel. And he said, so, Kefiha Nira Mehai Taima, Lo Nogu Lizar Kol Kach, Tisvarim V'gadim V'kadom. So maybe because of approaches such as this, that's why there are those who haven't been so careful about the issue of Borer when it comes to these things. So if he stopped there, so you might add him to the list of those who are making on this. But he does not stop there at all. And in the other sections in Borer, he clearly does talk about situations with Begadim and Kalim. So he goes on to say that the Mishnah Berura does not make on this. And he himself goes on to say that Lamaisa, from his perspective, from a Sternberg's perspective, Besvarim of Begadim, Koshalon, Alahakil, Besser, Torah, the Malach and Shabbos. So therefore, he gives the advice that you should spread out the svarim. We talked about that a little bit last week, so that there's no longer a taruvis, and then there's no risur borer. And he also writes that lahachzil arung shulkeach echad echad l'komo, that if you take one thing at a time and put it back in its place into a closet, kisha svarim einam uravim, when you no longer have the taruvis, ein kan breira. So then that should also be mutter. So basically, what does he do? So he's not ready to be makel like the svaras that he's acknowledged exist, that there's no isser of borer here at all. He is willing to be makel to break the taruvis and work from there. Breaking the taruvis, as we saw last week, it's a somewhat controversial heter. There are those who didn't accept that. He doesn't acknowledge that it's a machlokus about that heter. But perhaps even if he would acknowledge that it was machlokas, he would maybe also, if you look at some svarim, like for example, Rabbi Ribiat doesn't think it's machlokas either, he also presents that as a heter gomer, spreading out things. But even to the extent that it is a machlokas, again, since we're dealing with an item that itself is subject to great machlokas, so I think we're in very firm ground combining the two heter. Hi, Sammy, sorry.
Two questions. One, where is the Mishnah Berurah mapping on this?
The Mishnah
Berurah. In those cases, because, if it's clearly separate and distinct, I think that the Mishnah Berurah would call it a siluk.
Right. Well, I guess the siluk language, I think, is two different points. The siluk is only relevant when you are trying to get past one item to get to the other. And so that's
right.
One.
Does it matter whether it's this way or otherwise?
It doesn't. But if that's your motivation, you're pushing something out of the way so you can get to the other thing. That's what he's talking about by siluk. But here the question is, what if that's not even the issue? What if you want to separate things because you want them in different places, or you want to separate them for later and you're not going to use them now, you don't have the guy? What if you are missing any elements here, including that? So that he's going to say, is a different issue. Now, you also brought up the point that there's the issue where they're clearly distinct from each other. So again, that's where there's this big subjective factor, because everyone seems to agree, at least after the time of the Mordechai and the Trumas Hadeshin and the Rambam, that there's a taruvis requirement. Right? The Rambam uses the language of Urav and Zebazah, and others talk about taruvis. You know, the Gemara doesn't have that language exactly, but the Rishonim already have it. So everyone seems to assume that's a requirement. The question is just what fits the definition. So that's where there's this huge subjective factor as to what's called the taruvis Now, what's that? Jonathan?
According to the farms, does anybody understand, is this far because it's not really a tarubis or because it doesn't do anything better for these things to separate?
I think they're, it's a tarubis, the point. I think the two points come together. They said the definition of a tarubis for halachos borer is when things are mixed together so much that the relationship affects the items. The items are affected by the closeness to each other. But if they're not impacting on each other at all, that's not called tarubis for purposes of borer. So it's a semantic question.
It's not from that with the sefer that we generally were going with that we say separating two items is objectively a tikkun, because he would say that's only the tarubis.
Well, you see, it's all a question of language. It all means the same thing. You know, whether it needs a tikkun because it's mixed in together, because it's affecting each other, which is called tarubis. All the languages are merub instead of that. So there's no need to be borer one from the other. It's all essentially one point. Hi.
So the header that we saw about the destroying the tarubis, I thought that was when you throw something on the table.
Right.
Not when you have something on the table and you move things into different parts. Isn't that...
Was it borer biyad?
Yeah.
I don't think so, because there, if you spread it out like this, let's say, without any attention to what you're doing, so then that's really not going to be borer if you're not interested in how the parts fall out. No, because here he's talking about you are actively doing borer with intention and you're categorizing things, you're just not using either of them now. But if you spill something on a table, or if you use your hand and spread it out like this, so then I will continue to use the example of my YU spam filter, where you're just randomly putting one thing here and one thing there with no possible svar of any kind, and absolutely no logic whatsoever to dictate what goes in the inbox and what goes in the spam filter. So then that's, according to everyone, not going to be borer. Right, and again, we're skipping over the fact we talked about last week, that spreading out hefter has its controversy, and we talked a little last week about some of the questions that can be asked about it, but once we are acknowledging that, so then that's there. Okay, so let's move on to a different point. Another very interesting point, both with Svara and Lahalacha. So the Mishnah Berurah in the beginning of Hilchos Borer quotes from the Prima Gada Masafek what to do if you have food that was selected already, say, Bishogeg. And somebody did Borer a Bishogeg, so should there be a Knas? So Mishnah Berurah tends to be maker on this issue. He quotes it as a safek and leans towards kula. And why is he leaning towards kula? So Sternbuch quotes him on this as saying two reasons. Mishnah Berurah himself really only seems to say one reason, and the second reason is more interesting from a Lundish perspective. But the reason Mishnah Berurah does seem to say is that the Gra follows the view of the Gemara of Reb Meir that the knas of Bishul Bishogeg only applies to Bishul. And you may recall we did the Malacha of Zareya, so we talked a little bit at length about how the different Malachos don't necessarily fit into each other and may have differences between each other in terms of how we consume them after the fact. The whole concept of Knas essentially is Din D'Rabbanan, that we should punish you for doing the Malacha. So how the punishments work, they don't necessarily match each other, and there are reasons to distinguish. So here, the Mishnah Berurah seems to lean towards the view that this was not a halacha that applies to all malachas across the board, and therefore we don't have a source telling us that there is a knas bishogeg if somebody does borer. Sternbuch, at least kind of working within the Mishnah Berurah, then goes on to say a different svara, which I think you could question, but it's very interesting from a lumdish perspective. So there is an often quoted statement of the Chayyadim, that the Chai Adam says that if somebody carried something to somewhere else on Shabbos, so then there's no iser to benefit from the item that was carried. And the svara he gives, the reason this Chai Adam is quoted a lot is because it often comes up in discussions of why Hotzah is called the Malacha Grua. So sometimes one of the theories that's offered, why Hotzah should be a Malacha Grua, is because it's hard to see how the object changed at all. Leaving aside all quantum physics and the like, taking something from one place to the next doesn't seem to change it at all. So therefore, if there's no change in the chetza, there's no tikkun in the chetza, and that's why hotzah becomes a harder malacha to understand, the malacha grua, so therefore there should not be a knas to use it. So he applies that svara here, but it's really very different. So it's interesting to consider the difference. So here, what's the issue with Borer? The issue is that, as we pointed out last week, so most of the items that are subject to a prohibition of Borer, it's possible to do it beheter. So here, since you could have done it beheter, so he says it should be mutter b'shogeg b'dieved for that reason. So the truth is, it's very different from what the Chayyadim says. Right? The Chayyadim is really saying that this object has not been fixed in any way to make it off-limits to you. So that's not necessarily the case here. I mean, this item hadn't been mevurer, apparently was subject to some type of a tikkun. The object did get a tikkun. What's the difference? The difference is that you could have done the tikkun beheter. There would have been a way to do it beheter, so you didn't need the Chil Shabbos to get to where you are. So really what seems to be getting at is that since you don't have to be nene from the malacha, in order to be nene from this, that's why it should be mutter. So it's interesting to question whether or not that comparison to the Chayyadim is appropriate, but that's what he invokes in this conversation. But it seems like the thrust of it really is that there is no hanah from the tikkun because there's a way to do it behead. Now, at the same time, so we're not interested in overt harama of the sense, you know, some people asked last week, so can you do harama, meaning can you choose to use something that you wouldn't normally use in order to make it la'alter? So that presumably you can do, as we discussed last week, because once you're using it, so you're using it, so then it doesn't matter how motivated you'd be to use it or what's bringing you to the stage where you're using it. But what if it's an overt harama? Such as, let's say, you pretend it's la'alter and you really have no intention of la'alter. So now you have leftover for later. And we discussed last week that maybe, okay, presumably, even though it was a machlokas, if you intend for something la'alter and then you change your mind, so is it mutter afterwards? And we lean towards the view that it is mutter afterwards. Right? We lean towards the view that it all depends on what your purpose is now, and if you change your mind, or you have left over, that's probably mutter. Right? So let's assume that's true. Even though it's interesting to note that there are some who are medayit, I mean the Mishnah Berurah, that maybe he only means mishairo, meaning that if you have some left over, so you prepared a certain quantity, the quantity was more than you needed, and now you have some left over. But if the whole thing that you were borer, you're not using it at all, so that's already a little fishy. That's how some assume that, even within the tzad kuli here, that maybe it's only left over, you started to use it, and you have some left over, not if you not use it at all. But presumably, within either perspective, if somebody openly tries to cheat the system and says, okay, I want to prepare for shalashudas for lunchtime, so I'll prepare too much, and then I'll have left over for shalashudas as well. So that's clearly wrong. That's clearly going to be a haram. So then, it would seem, this is something that Rav Sternbuch discusses, then in such a situation, we should ask it after the event. We shouldn't let you benefit from your plan, and we should say that the mazid, and it was a trick, so we should say that you shouldn't be allowed to use this for shalashudas. Okay, so far so good? Everyone understand all the moving parts in that equation? Yeah, so basically, let's say it like this. In general, a person is borer b'shogeg, no knas. What if a person is borer to use now and ends up not using it? But in good faith, he thinks he's going to use it now and ends up not using it. So that's the machlokas. We assume lakula. Within the opinion lakula, one could make a distinction and one could say it's only if you have too much. But if you're not using it at all, maybe that's another Sabah Hachman. But let's assume, at least if it's a question of having too much that's left over, you prepared in good faith and you have food left over, no Isser Hana. Okay, so far so good? But what if it's not in good faith? What if it's an intentional trick that you want to purposely have stuff for Shal Shudas that you prepare before lunch? Oh, who knew, now I have stuff left over for Shal Shudas. So let's say we'll agree that for that we should be machmer on. That was an intentional trick. We should be machmer on that. So let's assume like that. Because before you take a question, everyone understand all the parts so far? So then, Rav Sternbuch says, however, let's say you want to flip it now. Let's say you realize, okay, we're not going to let you have it for Shalosh Shuvos. So now you say, okay, I'll have it for lunch. Right? So you tell your wife that, hi honey, guess what I did? I did this neat trick. I made too much for lunch, and now we have leftover for Shalosh Shuvos. And she says, no, I learned Tosfos Shabbos, you can't do that. So he says, okay, fine, but too late, I did it right. She goes, nope, sorry, I'm not going to even accept it for Shalosh Shuvos. Okay, so can we have it now for lunch? He says, yeah, because then you're not benefiting from your haram at all. And so basically the fact that if it comes retroactively la'alter, it wasn't intended to be la'alter, but if it comes retroactively, and even though that was really an isser, but you're not benefiting from the isser, because you could have done that ahead. So then it seems there's no tzad to be machmir on that than to not allow him to use it for lunch. Okay, everyone follow that? A lot of stages to get to that point. So he's making on that. To use that for lunch, you know. So to say, okay, you're not going to let me use it for Shal Shudas, so now I'll use it for lunch. So that seems there isn't much of a sar to be machmir on, because you're not benefiting from your evil plan. You could have done that bad there, so you might as well not be machmir on that. So here's another thing I wanted to share with you, another interesting tshuva, which I think based on... Sammy?
Why are you worried about haram if you do it on Pesach?
So again, harama means, you know, that there's different levels of harama, and harama sometimes we allow it, sometimes we don't allow it. But here, it's one thing if you're actually doing for ulterior motives the thing that you're claiming to do. But here you're just totally faking it out, that you never had intention to actually use it for that meal. So you're just lying to yourself. You know, you called it la'alter when it wasn't really la'alter. So it's one thing if you do something that you wouldn't otherwise have done, and you do it in order to satisfy a halachic problem. So if you mentioned, forget the example of Pesach, but just let's say the example of Borer, like we said last week. If you decide to use something now, which comes up, so for example, I think we mentioned last week, you see a valuable item in the garbage, and you want to take it out of the garbage. The post can sometimes recommend, okay, so use it now instead of, so it'll become la'alter. So, okay, but then you're going to use it now, so you make it la'alter. Or let's say the svarim, if you're machmir on the svarim, if we're setting aside everything said before, let's say you're machmir on the svarim, to call that borer, so they still say, so read a little bit from the sefer, and then it becomes la'alter. So that's acceptable harama, because maybe we don't care why you want to use the la'alter, because practically speaking, you're using it la'alter. But here, you're not using it, you're not doing it at all. You're just basically lying to yourself. So, or whoever you told you, whoever saw you doing this, and you told them you're doing it la'alter. So then there's really no grounds to accept that.
So on Pesach, it would be the same thing if somebody's just lying to themselves, and they're really not, you know, they just write.
You're talking about selling chametz.
Yeah.
So in terms of if you're practically speaking, you're passing the chametz over to the non-Jew, and you're selling it to him, and you're giving him the access to it, and you're doing all the rules of sales. So then, Maisa, we don't necessarily care, those of us who accept Mechiras Chametz, maybe we'll talk about that Pesach time, which is a fascinating topic in itself, but those of us who accept Mechiras Chametz, so we don't feel that we have to worry about why we're selling it to him. At the end of the day, it's being sold to him, and all the rules of Mechira are being invoked, so then it's a transfer. Okay, so I saw another interesting tshuva, which I thought had both a chiddush and a possibly questionable svara. I wanted to discuss this with you as well. So there's two svaras in the following tshuva. I'll tell you them both, but then I specifically want to ask you about the first one in light of what we've talked about so far, whether or not you think this is correctly applied. So in the tshuva is Chelek Levi, a Hungarian rav, was written about, I think, about 100 years ago. So he has a tshuva, so the chassidim, you know, go to the mikveh every day, go to the mikveh on Shabbos as well. So what happens if everyone's already gone to the mikveh before you, so the water is very dirty, and there's all kinds of grime that has come to the top of the water. It's floating there on the top. So I don't know exactly how big this mikveh is, but apparently, so it's conceivable to push the grime away and then somehow get your tefillah in, and in an area that is now newly cleaned. So he discusses, is that a problem of Soles mitoch ocha? So he says, he thinks that there's two svaras lahaka. And he says, the first is, he quotes the Taz, which we discussed last week, that the Taz says if you have a fly in your cup, so you can take out the fly from your cup, as long as you take a little bit of liquid together with it. So he says here too, Hachinami b'shah shedochef halichluch me'al pnei hamayim lo yimolid shegam in guf hamayim lo yitchav k'sas imo. That here too, you're going to memela, when you push away the grime, you're also going to take water with it. So that's the first svara. So are you satisfied with that svara, Jonathan? I don't think you are.
No, but I just had a question. Yes. You're saying do you push it like so it's still in the mikvah, just a different side?
You right. So that we said before. I don't understand the metzias exactly, but apparently, yes. So the mikvah is big enough somehow that you can...
So it's still in the mikvah.
Right. You'll see in a second why that's even more crucial.
What does that have to do with the Taz case?
Right. Well, so what it has to do with the Taz case is that the part that you're pushing away says the mele of water is going to come with that too, so therefore it's ochum solos together.
It's still in Tarov. You didn't take anything out.
So that might be a different reason to be makel for it,
yeah.
Right? So I think there are other svaras lahakel, and I think you're right that that might be one of them. But just in terms of that particular svara, so why is that maybe questionable in terms of what we saw?
That's a question because it has to be valuable lahakel. You need 40 saw.
Correct. Right? Well, right. So in terms, right. So not getting into the 40 saw question, but I think you're hitting on to the right point. Seems like you might say also. Okay, so right. So taking out again. So here, whether or not this continues to be a tairuvus even afterwards is as far as I'll probably lahakel. But here we saw that when we talked about taking out ochel with the psolas, that it shouldn't be just the amount of ochel that would automatically come with the psolas, because that's the same way you would do it during the week. If automatically there's ochel that comes along, so then that doesn't really help you. And that the only way it would help is if you take extra ochel beyond that which you would have normally taken. So here his point is, well, when you're doing it, for sure some water is going to come along, so it's also mitzvah psolas. So we had thought that that's, based on the literature, that that's not so convincingly an application of the ochel and psolas together heter. So that's questionable, because he's Badavka saying that it happens automatically, that it's impossible for you to clear away the garbage without clearing away water too. But that's the point. Since it's impossible, it's not going to save you. If it is a brayer issue, it's not going to save you from being bored. Hi.
When you push something away in the water, you're pushing a lot more water than you would if you use a strand.
In a chanami, but I think the point is that any way that you do it, you say, so then you're saying that the yad part is what makes it better, basically.
No, I'm saying
that since you're not using the utensil, you're not going to do an effective job.
Yeah, it's going to be more water, for sure.
But even if that's the case, it's only because you can't do a better job, so then maybe we should be makel because of the lack of a kli. In general, the yad kli distinction, where the kli makes things more effective. So maybe you can mix that into the story here. But what he's basically saying is that ochel and psolas together have to. So it's a difficult application because, as he himself is emphasizing, it's specifically the automatically accompanying ochel. So that's hard to say that that's really a part of what the Taz was saying. But he then goes on to say a chiddush, which is also just why it's interesting to mention. And he says that, he calls it a chiddush, Yesh lomar davar chadash, Taharei hacha halichluch hazeh chozer uba me'elav l'makom shedchafo misham. That here, it's, you guys mentioned that it's not untarovus anymore, it's still a tarovus. So he's saying not only is it still mixed in, but it's going to come back, which is also why I'm wondering about the Messias, about how fast the donkey could do, that he's really going to benefit from this situation. But right, so how he can do it fast enough before this happens, I'm not sure. Especially it's worse if you come back up and you find yourself surrounded. I don't know exactly what he has in mind. But somehow he can push this far enough away that he has time to go in. But it's going to come back, right? Kain tev b'hamayim, that this is going to reformulate. Ki agav ne'efshu delo mikri borer. So in such a situation, it's possible that that's not called borer. So I think that's a more interesting possibility and a more relevant possibility. Now you could say, as you're saying, that maybe it was never untaruvus to begin with, so maybe this really shouldn't be called borer one way or another, but his basic point is that it's not going to last. It's going to immediately reformulate. You could also make a strong siluk case here as well, which you're probably thinking about. So again, as we mentioned, there's a lot of confusion piled on to the siluk heter, but we'll leave ourselves with the words of Mishnah Berurah on that the siluk is fine. So I think there may be a number of other grounds to allow this situation, but this is just an interesting svara that we haven't yet seen, that if something automatically reformulates, maybe that should be called Borer, which makes sense. You know, on one hand, you could say it makes sense because that is not a Malacha HaMitzkayim. It's not going to be a lasting Malacha, which is a exemption we find in other Malachas. It hasn't come up in this context yet, but it's worth thinking about. You could also say that by definition, this is the flip side of a Derech Achila kind of Svara. That anything that's not, and especially when we talk about Otzer, so things have to be able to stay in their situation so you can put them away. So one can make a good case that even separate from any Malacha Miskayem Svara, that something that needs your attention to keep it in a state of Borer is not Borer. That Borer, by definition, needs to have a certain independence once you separate it. And that this is both not Derech Brera or Derech Achila slash Yishuv, any way you want to say it, think that this impermanence idea is an interesting idea to think about. Hi. Well, in general, we do have a Ptur, usually a level Minat Torah, of a Malacha that's not in the sky. So when it comes to Kosei, we'll see that comes up. That's why doctors sometimes write invisible ink. You know, you do have such an idea if a Malacha is not going to last. Yeah, possibly, or disappearing ink. So the opposite of invisible ink, disappearing ink. So that might be called, there is such a concept. We've seen it in a couple places. We'll get into it more in other Malachas, but we also, one thing we mentioned already, just to bring it up, we talked about the Malachos where it's not only less than a shear, but it's considered nothing, like Oreg one chut. So there's some who explain that you're going to weave one strand, it doesn't last, it's nothing, it doesn't have any kiyum, and a Malacha needs to have kiyum. So we have found literally there's such a svara by Shabbos in general. So maybe you could say that here, but you could also say that specifically Borer, which has this phrase of Borer la'otzer, specifically needs to have a certain existing thing. Here specifically where we have the distinction between la'alter and otzer, and derech achila and derech brera, it makes sense to say that if something won't last on its own, it's not Borer. So I think the second svara, and this is really why I'm bringing it up, not to criticize him on the first application, but to mention the second svar, I think the second svar is very interesting and worth being aware of. However, he doesn't agree with me because he says that Tzarechi and Bazeh, Aval Kolpanim, Aheter Arishon, who borrow Lufin his days. He's not sure about the second svar, but he thinks the first svar is rock solid. So we're saying kind of the opposite, that we think the first svar is a little bit less rock solid, if you need the first svar, but the second svar is more potentially helpful and more potentially relevant. So strictly speaking, to move on to a different point, so psolas mitoch psolas, when you're separating garbage, strictly both for garbage, so that should also be mutter, that should also be, without getting into the prima gadim, we're talking about ocho and ocho, but a pure psolas and psolas, so that should be mutter. Hi?
That's even if it's subjectively ocho, but objectively.
It's all going to the garbage, yeah. So it's all going to the garbage. I think it all becomes called psolas.
But you want one.
Well, because if you're throwing out everything, so you want to throw them out in different places, so then that should be psolas mitoch psolas. But that brings up an interesting question, and here's, I brought more things to read to you. So in terms of the question of recycling, when you have garbage that's supposed to go to different places for the purposes of recycling, so I brought to you here a tshuva of Rabbi Yisrael David Harfenis. And it's true of this Mishnah Shabbos. This is Kufsa Meches Os Beis. That's only minimally helpful because he has like 27 different volumes that start from numbering over each time. So this is volume 1 star, which is different than volume Aleph, which is different than volume 1, which is different than who knows what else. But if you happen to stumble upon the right volume, so this is in Kufsa Meches Beis. It is available on HebrewBooks.org. At least a lot of them are. So he had just made this point that psolas mitoch psolas is mutter, but now he talks about recycling. When mekomush mitzad chokam emshala tzrichem lechalek ha'ashba ulasad b'fnei atzmo kuyizchukas ukutzolos niyar. So if the law is we have to separate glass from paper, let's say the law is recycling. Mahu b'shabes beis pinei shulchan levar minim hanal haruyim the recycling. So what happens upon Shabbos? You want to separate paper and glass for that purpose. So his position is nira lahachner on this. But he quotes some interesting svaras against him, so it's worth seeing what they are. Yeah.
Before such the svaras, is he assuming that this is within the Pshol's Mitoch?
You think it's Pshol's Mitoch Pshol's? He doesn't explain why he thinks this is worse. He says, "Oh, the Torah l'fiyah na'altsim nekayim mokum mahatir." So you could have thought, based on what I just said, this should be mutter. The hachanami hing shnei minei pshol's. Here again, you have two different types of garbage, two different things you are removing from your house. So we should say that there should be mutter pshol's and pshol's. The halino l'malas mutter l'varis them is amanas azarkim shnei shnei nefrajim. And we said already that you're allowed to separate such things when you want to just throw them all away. Hachanami v'zeh. So the Av Shahamim Shalah wrote in Lachsul Ashtamish Min Hasheni, even though the government is interested in going back and using the second item, Nimsa Deflah Min Zehu B'chinas Ochel. So what emerges is that this min is therefore called Ochel. Mikol Mokom Mestaber Debasu Didei Azlinan. Still, it makes sense that we follow what you're doing. L'idei Shnehen Psoles Gama. So it's from your perspective, they're both garbage. Now we'll also discuss, we'll see if we have time, we may have to carry a little bit of this over. We are really almost done with Barah, but we may have to say a few points over. But it's not so clear that we always come from your vantage point. But okay, from here he's assuming that the fact that the government may use one as Ochel, as far as you're concerned, they're both Psolas. So you could have said, all right, so far it should be Mutter, right? Psolas with Psolas is Mutter, and even though one could be made useful, but you are still considering them both garbage from as far as what you know about, so shli mutter so far. Amnam yesh makom v'baldin lachlo. Somebody could decide, somebody could argue on this. Demea or lachalik, distinguish either one. Demea achar shesov kol sov boram lefi sheyesh toelos menachad yosum hasheni. The fact is, you are separating them. Why? Because one of them is more valuable than the other. So now that's considered to be Ochel Mipsolas. You don't think that's such a compelling story. So wait till he finishes saying what he's going to say, and then he brings those who argue on him, and then you can comment about what you think is more compelling. And since this is all for later, it's not the altar, so then that's going to be a problem. Now, he mentions here, and this is what I alluded to a second ago, that when you're feeding to a child, let's say you're feeding to somebody else, and he thinks it's ochel for him, so then we generally use the rule that it's ochel based on the person who will be consuming it. And therefore, there are those who suggest somewhat of a harama, that let's say you have a solas ochel situation, you want to separate solas from your ochel for immediate purposes, and the guy sitting next to you, he likes what you want. You know, that happens all the time, right? You have different preferences, so you don't want what's on your plate, and the guy next to you, Dafka, wants it, so you could give it to him. It'll be now Ochel Mitoch Psolas, and you end up losing your Psolas because of the subjective nature. So that is apparently an acceptable harama. So how does that play in here? So, I'm Devreinu Le'el, Shasone Maichu, Baram Nas Litno L'Chaveru Sha'ohavo. So somebody who doesn't like a certain food, and he separates it out in order to give it to his friend who does like it, mikri ochel mipsolas, shemutter kidei le'achol alter. That's called ochel, since you're giving it to the guy as ochel. So that's mutter, it's ochel alter. Harei dazlina basa misha misparer b'shvilo. So there you see that we follow based on who it is chosen for. Right? So that would seem to now get us in trouble in this case, because it's being chosen for the government, and they're doing it later. It's not la'alter. Amnam l'sfaris ha'prin agadim ha'muva asham d'haynu b'char ha'bura m'subin yachad k'char t'char ha'shivi v'zelo shayach kan. Because also it's a question whether or not that applies here, although that seems to apply l'chumra. But here also, because l'maisa, it's interesting why the thing has to be refuted, because it seems to apply l'chumra, because it doesn't help that it's all from the Psolas, because he just said that it's Lachar's mind. But in any event, it says questionable whether that applies here, because here it's only if your friend is sitting next to you, you're all sitting in one group, so we could say, okay, this is all one action. But somebody who's not with you at the time, so he's not necessarily sure that applies. And further reason to chumra he has, and also you too, there's benefit from one kind more over the other. The meishar and obat kifin, whether it's direct or indirect. Because that which the government wants you to separate them, that is for the benefit of society. That's for everyone's good, everyone's well-being. They don't have room for everything. Or they want to make these things usable again. You go and please chukis and matachas, like metal or glass. They don't have to charge more taxes. So, Lamela, this is for your own sake. So, you are benefiting from this. So, it is a Boer problem for you. In other words, you're interested in the distinction here. It benefits you, but not immediately. It's not a Ochel Alter. And therefore, that's why he's no Tilahim. Okay, so what has he said so far? Right, that you could have said this should be Mutter, Solas, and Solas. And you're not interested in the distinction. It's only the government that's interested. But in the end, he thinks that it does make a difference because mostly you are benefiting and for these various reasons that he mentions. So therefore, you are interested in this Breira, and it's not a Breira that's going to apply right now to have any type of Hetzel Alter. Then he goes on to say, Aval Yedidi Hagrasha Steinberger Shlita. Quotes his friend, I don't know who he is. Hey, Erdaf Alpike, Meacher Shein Choser, Mishamshin, Sheinis, Bugufa Kli, Zuchuchet, Zomatachos. Since they don't actually go back and use these used items again. What do? They don't use this glass and this metal again. They destroy it and they mix it up and they reconstitute it, they crush it and they rebuild it. So it's essentially a new item. Whatever gets made out of the stuff. And then they'll make new utensils. So we can't call any one of them now Ochel. And the other ones objectively Psoles. So still, we look at them right as they are now, because no one's ever going to use these items again. They're not going to, in their current form, ever be used as Ochel. So right now, they are complete Psoles. In other words, the chiddush of recycling is that it revitalizes psoles. It turns psoles into ochel. But it doesn't change the fact that right now, it's psoles. So these are both psoles. L'fneinu shneihem b'shem psoles mekunim. They're both called psoles. Right? Reading the Kala Rishon, that brother shnei minei psoles mutter. V'gam yeshlomi achash achshad enu zmanish damshus lo mikriza ochel. So basically, they're not being used now. And at the moment, they're both psoles. So we go back to step one, that psoles mitok psoles should be mutter. So he inclines Lahafmer, and he has always his answers at the beginning in bold with Nero Lahafmer, but he quotes his friend Svara, which is that there should maybe possibly be a Tzad Kula. Then he has one more paragraph, let's just try to read this so we'll get this in before we run out of time. We have very few points left that we'll mention just tomorrow, and then we will very quickly grind into Tochen. We really are pretty much finished this topic. So I'm not sure when it comes to glass bottles. Right? So let's say the bottles that if you bring them back to the store, they give you a little bit of money. A refund, the vaz. The guy's going to give you a refund for these bottles. So let's say you find it in the garbage. Assuming it's your own garbage. We find it in the garbage on Shabbos. And you take it out with intent so that you can bring it back to the store owner and get your prutos back. Is that mikri borer ochel mipsoles kidei lahaniach? So is that called ochel mitoch soles for a later purpose? We should say that since you're going to benefit from this later, even though it was garbage, you threw it out first, but then you realized you could profit from it, so now let's call it ochel. Right? But what does a store owner do with it? He also throws it out. Parentheses, recycling. He's also going to recycle it. So you're just moving the psoles from your house to his store. So, dina kebor psoles mi psoles. He's not going to put this back on the shelf. The law is that he should give you a 5-cent refund, a 10-cent refund because you brought it back. That's the really incentive for you to recycle with him. That's what it is. You're not really selling this item to him, so it's not a valuable item. He's also going to throw it into the garbage. When we start a svara near la hakel, so he thinks it's logical to be makel on that. About choshashani leser, but I'm not so sure. I'm a little worried about that too. So I don't know what you think of those svaras. I thought that was very interesting. Literally 5-10 minutes. Hopefully tomorrow we should be finished with Bora. I probably have said this before, but I think we definitely are very close to that, and we'll pick up tomorrow. So we're diving in Mincha in 2 minutes, hopefully.